Our speaker today is Doug Traversa. Oh, I forgot to say. Thank you, Jeffrey.
You're welcome.
Doug is the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Tullahoma. He completed his seminary studies at Meadville Lombard Theological School in Chicago. Doug is a retired Air Force officer, and he and his wife, Jancy, live in Tullahoma. Today, Doug will speak on liberal religion is not the same thing as liberal politics. Let's welcome our speaker, Doug Traversa.
So this is a first. You're getting the sermon before Tullahoma gets the sermon. So you're special today. In 2016, my plan is to be doing a series of sermons or talks, whichever you prefer to call it, on Unitarian Universalist history, our purpose, or if you'd prefer, our theology, or our philosophy, or our reason for being, criticisms, critiques, and suggestions to make it stronger, more meaningful, and more relevant in our communities and our society. So I have really big plans for the coming year, and it might be the sort of thing that gets me in a lot of trouble, because when you start off saying liberal religion isn't the same thing as liberal politics, to some people it is, or very close. And so maybe already the hairs on the back of your neck are going up a little, but bear with me. You know me well enough. I'm probably not going to say anything too outrageous, maybe. We'll see. But the other problem is I heard people talking about being tired. I've had one of those weeks where I wake up at 4:30 every day, so who knows how delirious I'm going to be. And combine that with having to babysit our three granddaughters since Thursday. Woo! It's been fun. So you're lucky I found my way here today. Now, there is a very important and very distinct difference between liberal religion and liberal politics. And for that matter, there is a difference between, say, liberal politics in the Democratic Party or conservative politics in the Republican Party. In our minds and in our society, those things are all tied together often. But I want to talk about how they aren't always the same thing. And today, mostly the focus is on liberal religion, because Unitarian Universalism owes huge amounts to that phrase, liberal religion. And yet it's not a phrase we hear very much today, but it was super common as recently as the 60s and 70s. And by the time we're done today, I hope to have your eyes opened a little bit, especially if you're new to Unitarian Universalism, as to what this liberal religion thing is and how important it really is and how it applies in how we relate to our society and to our politics. Now, some people don't like the word religion. We're already in trouble when I'm saying liberal religion, and people like to say, well, Unitarian Universalism isn't a religion, it's a association of congregations, which is technically true. And of course, the humanists, the atheists, the agnostics, they don't like the term religion, and you know, I'm in that group. They don't like the term religion because of all the baggage it carries. And there's a phrase that's very common now that I'm spiritual but not religious. And believe it or not, even when I was a fundamentalist way back, they hated the word religion. You know, Christianity's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, religion gets beat up from the left and the right. Okay? Everyone hates the word religion. And the reason is a religion is a human construct. We create religions. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of religions, easily thousands of religions throughout human history. And it's people trying to come up with a way of congregating together, making sense of the world, finding out how best to live, and seeking truth and meaning. And we do that in Unitarian Universalism. And I've said many times, I'm going to call it a religion. And take that for whatever it's worth. We are a religion. Warts and all, with all our problems, we are a human construct, and we have principles we operate under, and we emphasize very heavily the right of the individual to find truth and meaning in their life. That's a religion. It's also a liberal religion. If you look up liberal, like I did, and just Google it, let's see what the internet gives me for a definition of liberal. The very first one to open up was open to new behavior or opinions and willing to discard traditional values. Bingo! That's Unitarian Universalism. That is liberal religion. A religious organization that is open to new behavior, that is willing to discard traditional values if they are harming people, if they are no longer relevant. So liberal religion is essentially a human construct to find truth and meaning that's willing to change with time, to evolve with new knowledge and new inputs, new realizations, scientific findings. Now, if you doubt that liberal religion is important in the UU world, I was able to go to my library of Unitarian Universalist books and pull these titles off the shelf. And I don't own, you know, anywhere near all the Unitarian Universalist books that have been published, and yet I was able to find all these with minimal effort. The Liberal Gospel is set forth in the writings of William Ellery Channing, edited by Charles Little. Three Prophets of Religious Liberalism, Channing, Emerson, and Parker, by Conrad Wright. Being Liberal in an Illiberal Age, Why I Am a Unitarian Universalist, by Jack Mendelsohn. Challenge of a Liberal Faith, by George N. Marshall. Those last two are UU ministers. And Even Today, those books are all a little older. But Even Today, if any of you have heard of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, which is a group for people who don't have a congregation that they can physically go to, they put out a monthly newsletter called Quest. And the subtitle is A Monthly for Religious Liberals. And this is a Unitarian Universalist publication. So the phrase religious liberal has been used to describe us since before there was such a thing as Unitarian Universalism. In fact, before there was such a thing as Unitarians or Universalists. So let's hop into our Wayback Machine. How many of you even know that reference? You old-timers, it's a time machine and a dog drives it around and you can watch Bullwinkle. Anyway, we're going to hop into our Wayback Machine and we're going to go look at William Ellery Channing. He's often called the father of American Unitarianism, but he didn't start out as a Unitarian because there was no such thing. He was a Congregationalist minister. If you ever lived up in New England, I actually went to a Congregationalist church when they still existed. They are now part of the United Churches of Christ. They merge four denominations, and you may have heard of those. There's one here in Murfreesboro. Very liberal Christian denomination that works with the Unitarian Universalists on a lot of things. So he was a Congregationalist. He served as a senior minister at the Federal Street Church of Boston from 1803, so our country hadn't been around very long, to 1842. And back in the early 1800s, he writes some of these things in reference to liberal Christianity or liberal religion, because back then the two were pretty much the same thing. So he says, on the principles of liberalism, and see if this applies to you or to us as a congregation, as a group, as a religion called Unitarian Universalism. The ultimate reliance of a human being on his, and I'll add her or her own mind, pardon the sexism in the language, it is from the early 1800s, the ultimate reliance on your own mind. Never do violence to your rational nature. God, having framed the soul for expansion, or we could say growth, has placed it in the midst of an unlimited universe to receive fresh impulses and impressions without end. And man, dressed in a little brief authority, he's making fun of the church leaders now, and man, dressed in a little brief authority, would sever it from this sublime connection to the universe and would shape it after his own ignorance or narrow views. So early 1800s, William Ellery Channing is saying, don't listen to those self-righteous, know-it-all religious leaders who would sever you from learning new things and being open to new revelations. This is before the transcendentalists have come on the scene, but this is leading into transcendentalism, the idea of listening to the God within. According to Channing, here are the ends for which a liberal church is erected. This is why we have something called a liberal church. This house is not reared to perpetuate the superstitions of past ages, nor of the present age. It is not reared to doom the worshiper to continual repetition of his own or other delusions. It is reared for the progress of truth, reared in the faith that the church is destined to this new truth and new security, reared in anticipation of a happier, holier age. That's the purpose of the liberal church. Not to be mired down in superstitions past or present, but to be open to new revelations. Now, although Channing was not himself a transcendentalist, you can see in these words what's going to become transcendentalism. And he is the one who helped initially make room for this transcendentalist idea in what was a Christian denomination, Congregationalism. In Three Prophets of Religious Liberalism, by Conrad Wright, he states that Channing made it impossible for Unitarians to return to the idea that Christ was the unique channel of God's revelation. Channing's the one who said, you can also look other places, not just the Bible, not just Jesus. And Ralph Waldo Emerson and Theodore Parker, being transcendentalists, argued that each individual had a religious impulse, the voice of God within, that they could listen to. So we can see that religious liberalism was originally liberal Christianity. That is our root. And these liberals argued that we must use reason to understand the Bible. They rejected a literal interpretation of the Bible. Way back in the 1800s, early 1800s, they're saying, the Bible's obviously a lot of metaphor and mythology and symbolism. Why would you read it as a literal history book? That's not what it's for. So this is a battle that's been going on since our nation's been here, and well before in Europe. They rejected the notion that Christ was a blood sacrifice to atone for the sins of all people. Rather than believing in the hopeless depravity of everybody, they believed that humans were capable of doing good by the power of their own nature. And so, due to the teachings of people like Channing, even though he himself had no intention of setting up a new denomination, in 1825, right in the middle of his ministry, the American Unitarian Association had been formed, providing a home for liberal Congregationalists in this new denomination. And this newly created bed of liberal religion was the place where the transcendentalists could thrive. It wasn't without conflict. Even this new liberal Unitarians, not all of them were really all set to say, well, we can just reject the Bible completely and just listen to the voice of God within. But they held together, and the transcendentalists stayed welcome in Unitarianism. And that really, of all historical occurrences, was probably the most major thing that encouraged us to continue to evolve so radically as we have to this point today. Because if you went back to Channing and told him, hey, this new thing you've started, this Unitarianism, in 200 years, you're going to have atheists and agnostics coming to your church and being accepted as they are, he probably wouldn't have bought that. He was a liberal Christian. He believed in God, and he believed that was what drove all this, but a liberal way of looking at it. So even he probably didn't realize the seeds he had sown would lead to such a revolution in religious thought as we have here. But this liberal religion thing, it didn't go away with Channing. It comes up all the way into the 20th century, and just listen to what we might have been rather than Unitarian Universalists. In 1947, Frederick May Elliott, president of the American Unitarian Association, we haven't had the merger yet, so there's no such thing as Unitarian Universalism, he wanted to establish the United Liberal Church of America. We could have been the ULCA instead of UUs. which actually sounds a little better, I think, the ULCA. He wanted Unitarians and Universalists, who were separate at the time, to take the lead to create it. And in 1953, 6 years later, the Council of Liberal Churches was created. The Council of Liberal Churches. They were established to jointly manage three things between Unitarians and Universalists: education, public relations, and their publications, their books and pamphlets. So that was something that was created with the word liberal in it, Council of Liberal Churches. In 1966, George N. Marshall wrote in his book, Challenge of a Liberal Faith, see if this sounds like you today or the people around you. We recognize and enjoy the role of being heretics in a conventional sense, in being the mavericks of the religious landscape. This is the challenge of liberal religion, which frees us from the old stereotypes so that we can develop in freedom a modern religion that is increasingly, listen for these ideas, these principles that are going to be this new liberal religion, that are increasingly naturalistic, humanistic, idealistic, and realistic. If you have ever doubted traditional faith, if you have ever wondered about ideas that others do not question, if you have ever felt revulsion at the concepts of life and death that are so trite they become meaningless, banalities of the religious life, if you have a tendency to reject the cliches of religious institutions and have been appalled by its sentimentality, if your mind refuses to accept non-scientific teachings, you may be a Unitarian Universalist without knowing it and on the road to religious liberalism. So, that's 1966. That's the view of religious liberalism then. And yet, we rarely hear it today. Rarely. So, for well over 100 years, this phrase, liberal religion, has had significant meaning, and it didn't refer to politics. You haven't heard me say a thing about political stands on any issues right now. Liberal religion is a way of approaching your search for truth and meaning and how you relate to traditional religions, traditional scriptures, traditional rituals, and how you incorporate them or not in your life. But here's what religious liberalism meant. Freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, embracing new scientific discoveries, rejecting trite religious phrases and teachings, seeking God or ultimate meaning without the approval of religious institutions or religious leaders, rejecting such notions as eternal torment in hell or a wrathful God, accepting that Jesus was fully human, just like you and me, and perhaps most importantly, a growing acceptance of the value of other religious viewpoints and the rejection of claims of absolute truth by one religious group. These definitions are still true today. But if you ask someone, what is a liberal religion? They probably wouldn't connect that because, as I said, sadly, we don't use that phrase much. But could you be, and this is where we get into the don't throw things at Doug stage, could you be politically conservative and religiously liberal? And I maintain you most certainly can. But separate conservatism and liberalism in politics from the political parties. And just think about some of the stands of both. And why do we seem to think, and we do, we're guilty of this as Unitarian Universalists, that Republicans wouldn't want anything to do with us, and we don't want anything to do with them to a large degree. And if someone does come here and is politically conservative, they're afraid to say so. For the most part, I've heard people tell me this. I went to a regional meeting where they were doing this big outreach, and I've shared this before, so forgive me if you've heard it, but, you know, huge advertising blitz, and we're going to have lots of new people coming in, and what are we going to do when Republicans come through our doors? As though that didn't already happen. Well, in my church in Tullahoma, Republicans come through the doors all the time. It's not a big deal, because religious liberalism isn't about politics. Although it can certainly overlap into it, something different. And that's where part two of this is. What would keep a political conservative from being religiously liberal? there is no reason logically that Unitarian Universalism couldn't have political conservatives, couldn't have libertarians, as well as people from the Green Party and the Democratic Party, of which we have a great many. Why wouldn't all be able to come here equally and participate in these ideas of freedom of thought, freedom of conscience, freedom of finding truth and meaning without religious obligation to an institution or a person? Why couldn't that happen? I think one reason that we have this problem comes out of the book Being Liberal in a Liberal Age, Why I Am a Unitarian Universalist, which is probably one of the worst tongue twister titles ever on a book. So Jack Mendelsohn, a UU minister, writes this. And I think this exemplifies why there's an issue with this idea that conservatives and libertarians and stuff should be equally represented here. So I quote, and he's talking about power, political power. Power, or power over people in other ways too, but power, ethically understood, is the ability to achieve moral compass, a crucial dimension of the gift of life, and its will to live in the midst of life is its use of power. A liberal and liberating faith, in both its personal and communal forms, must come to terms with the realities of power. Social action is the exercise of power. Ethical social action is the exercise of power for implementing the demands of justice, equity, and love. The idea of power in the exercise of power must never be viewed as alien to the liberal spirit. Power is a basic dimension of being and a basic dimension of personal and institutional liberal life. It is both desirable and necessary in implementing the demands of love and justice. So, let that settle in. You may agree, you may not. Power has now become a tool of liberal ethics. And in this person's mind, in this paragraph, doesn't mean Unitarian Universalism as a whole, doesn't mean any of you individually. But here is someone writing about Unitarian Universalism, and the idea is power is essential to implement the demands of love and justice. Of course, whenever anyone has power and tries to do good, that good that they're trying to do may not be viewed as good by everybody else. How many times have people tried to do good and actually done more harm? History is filled with examples. But at least in his mind, a liberal and liberating faith must come to terms with the realities of power and that social action is the exercise of power. So Unitarian Universalism has really taken social action, social justice, in many senses as the new theology. We've rejected the old theology. We've rejected the old concepts of God and Scripture. We've given everyone the right to individually pursue truth and meaning, but people also want this strong central core that draws everyone together, that almost chaotic, that almost anarchistic idea of a religion with no central, strong gravitational pull scares people. People want something to tie things together, be it a scripture that's given down by God or something else that is really demanded of everybody. And so this goes against what I believe Unitarian Universalism needs to be, which is truly that chaotic or anarchistic or centralist thing, if you will, if you want that terminology, that allows people to be radically different. I talked about this a few months ago when I talked about pluralism. What's wrong with being radically different from each other and still coming together every week and loving each other and sharing our ideas? Why do we all have to be the same? And maybe you felt some pressure to conform to certain liberal political ideologies. I know people have said this in our congregation. They've said, you know, if I'm conservative on an issue, I don't really feel free to talk about it because I feel like everyone else is on the other side. And that may be true. Each congregation's different. I don't know how it works here. But it is something we need to be careful of, be aware of. liberal political views are not liberal religion. If you take nothing else out of here today, keep that in mind. Let me give you a couple of examples. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's time to tie it up. But I will come back to ideas like this in the future. The question came up, would we ever let someone speak from our pulpit, and this is in Tullahoma, who was against abortion? Or would we let someone speak who was against same-sex marriage? Or would we let someone speak who believed in the Trinity? Now, that's actually a good question with three different answers. And I answered it from Doug's perspective. And understand, I do not pick speakers, and I don't have veto power over speakers at our church. But if it was my job and I had to decide, here's how it would go. The Trinity. Well, as Unitarians, we have made the claim throughout history that Jesus wasn't God. So, yeah, we're not open-minded to that point. Unitarian Universalism doesn't mean come in and believe anything, and we're going to let you have equal say with anyone else. That's not what it is. We do have certain things we've established. Anyone's welcome to come, but we're not going to give the pulpit to someone who's trying to convince us that the Trinity is true, that Jesus was God, because as Unitarians, we rejected that hundreds and hundreds of years ago, not just in our country, but in Europe. And that's just not going to happen. And if that means I'm not open-minded, so be it. And we're Unitarians. The name means something. How about same-sex marriage? I personally would never let someone speak from the pulpit against same-sex marriage. That doesn't mean that if a person is opposed to it, that they're stupid and ignorant, and that they may not have a valid point of some sort. But to me, I've heard the arguments, and all the arguments basically boil down to the Bible, which we as Unitarian Universalists, as the liberal religion have said, it didn't come from God. It's human writings. Okay, so you can't quote Bible verses at me to make your point. And once you take the Bible away, it's traditional. So is slavery. So is treating women like garbage. So is polygamy in some points. Don't quote tradition at me. So if you throw out tradition, you throw out the Bible, basically you just don't like gay people, or you're uncomfortable with the idea that two men or two women can be married together and love each other. And that isn't a point that I want to spend a Sunday morning listening to. You're hurting people in my congregation. I'm not interested. I wouldn't invite you. Now, you may disagree with me. In fact, I had a guy sitting next to me who disagreed with me. He said, fine, we disagree. Here's why I would not do that. Final point, abortion. Could you not be very liberal in religious orientation and say, there's a lot we don't know still about what it is to be human. Why not err on the side of caution? And by the way, I am not anti-abortion. I'm not going off on that spiel. But could you not be an ethical, moral, liberally religious person who says, I'm not comfortable with the notion of abortion at any point? And I'm not quoting Bible verses at you, and I'm not attacking anyone who has had an abortion. But I think ethically, we really need to think harder about this and not just be reactive against the Republicans and the people who are quoting the Bible verses. And could we as a congregation hear that view from the pulpit without feeling threatened if it was presented in that way? That I'm speaking from a perspective of life, morals, and ethics. I'm not quoting scriptures, and I'm not attacking you if you've had an abortion. But here's my thoughts on it. Could we do that? I believe we could, and indeed should. That's a discussion worth having, because that one has moral and ethical issues that apply across the spectrum of religious perspectives, from liberal to conservative. And so that's something Unitarian Universalism as a whole doesn't do that I'm aware of. I don't claim to know everything, but pretty much, in a Unitarian Universalist congregation, if you are against abortion, you don't talk about it. You don't. You're not comfortable. You're not welcome. That idea would be booed and hissed, and you'd be called anti-woman and all this other stuff. But there are ways of looking at this that defy a Republican-Democrat divide or aren't attacking women. And that's the sort of grown-up, really adult, really mature behavior that's essential to Unitarian Universalism. That's why I love this religion so much. And so this point was brought up, and it made me think for 2 months. That's a really good point. And it needs to be addressed. This whole thing of we pat ourselves on the back about how enlightened, how evolved, how open we are, but not always, not always. And those gray areas are the areas we wrestle with on a daily basis. What is welcome here at a sermon, at the pulpit? What is worth your time on a Sunday morning and your time during the discussion afterwards? And what is not? Right? Is this the moral and ethical equivalent of arguing that the earth is flat? And we're just not going to waste a second on that. Or is there something here deeper and more meaningful, even if we don't agree with it? And a liberal religion isn't afraid to look at that. And so I've thrown a lot of heavy-duty stuff at you today, and I made one joke about a Wayback Machine, but otherwise it's been pretty serious. So I'm going to let you off the hook now. I hope we can have a good discussion about this afterwards. And this is what 2016 is going to be like for me, I think. I got a lot of ideas now, and I think they're very, very valuable because, go out of here, I am not bashing Unitarian Universalism. I love this as much as I love any institution on this planet because it has given me a home with my wild and crazy ideas. They welcomed me when I swore I would never go to church again because they said, you can believe whatever you want about God. You're welcome here. So everything I say from here on out is done out of love and hope that we become a better and more powerful and positive influence on our world, our society, and our community. And that's what's driving this. It's not tear down UUs. I love UUs. I love what this is. Thank you very much.